Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Videocon D2S Limited Fiscal 2016 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Agarwal, Head of Investor Relations, Videocon D2H. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Lizanne. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Videocon D2H Fiscal 2016 Results Conference Call. We have with us senior management of the company, represented by Mr. Saurabh Dhoot, the Executive Chairman, Mr. Anil Khera, the CEO, Mr. Rohit Jain, the Deputy CEO, and Mr. Avanti Kanthalia, the CFO. I now hand over the call to Mr. Dhoot for his initial comments.
Thank you all for joining our Fiscal 2016 Results Call. On behalf of our board members and management team, I welcome you all on a results call for the fiscal year 2016, that is the year ended 31st March 2016. I also take this opportunity to officially welcome Harry Sloan and Jess Zagansky as officially on the board post recent regulatory clearances approvals, though they have been actively engaged with the companies in the past 1 year. Fiscal 2016 has been a landmark year for Videocon D2H in our first as a NASDAQ-listed company. It was a year of very promising developments for the Indian DTH industry, and I will highlight some of the ways these changes resonate with D2H strategy and operational strengths. During the year, our company continued to seize the Indian digital pay TV opportunity, delivering superior content and best-in-class customer service to millions of our subscribers. Dear shareholders, as Executive Chairman, I am proud of achievements during the year in gaining subscriber and revenue traction. However, what excites me even more is the emergence of us as a major platform that today attracts tens of millions of eyeballs daily, and how this is enabling meaningful value addition to the business through revenue streams of advertising, carriage, and our own content plans and value-added services sales. I'm excited about our steps being taken towards rolling out production services designed for digital media consumption. These, I believe, will be our future growth drivers, and I'll come back to them in a minute. I think overall, dear shareholders, with a strong subscriber growth outlook, the DTH industry gaining market share over cable, and an improving ARPU scenario, we believe we are truly at the beginning of building a multi-year track record of strong growth and value creation. I'm proud to share we have reported the highest net subscriber addition among DTH operators at 1.68 million for the year. We have now led the DTH industry in adding the most net subscribers for 6 years in a row. This is testament to both a superior product and customer service and a fantastic management. Videocon D2S strategy continues to focus on driving revenue and EBITDA growth while leading the industry in technological innovation and customer service. This will build a durable foundation for long-term profitable growth and cash flow generation. Our simple strategy of focusing on pure and simple execution works. Not just net subscriber growth, but also strong ARPU growth relative to competition is also important to all of to us. We have led the industry in ARPU growth this past year. Between customer additions and ARPU growth, I am happy to share that D2H reported strong EBITDA growth of 31.5% in fiscal 2016. During the year, total revenue grew 22.4% to rupees 28.56 billion, with subscription and activation revenues growing 26.4% to rupees 26.07 billion. Adjusted EBITDA grew 31.5% year-on-year to rupees 8.01 billion. This number would have been around rupees 8.44 billion in the absence of service tax increase and implementation of Swachh Bharat or Clean India Cess. ARPU grew from rupees 196 on the average of the whole fiscal 2015 to an average of 207 rupees in fiscal 2016. The exit quarter ARPU came in at 214 rupees. Had it not been for tax increases during the year, this average of 207 would have been higher at 210. Gross and net subscribers increased by a tremendous 2.65 million and 1.68 million subscribers respectively. Churn for the year came in lower at 0.73% overall, or 8.76 for the year. This is compared to the monthly churn of 0.8% in fiscal 2015. This has been a landmark quarter. I am pleased to share it is the best quarter in terms of subscriber additions. It has also been a landmark quarter for the DTH industry. We delivered one of the best quarters in the history of Indian pay TV industry. We added close to 800,000 gross subscribers and close to 600,000 net subscribers during the quarter. Strong Q4 really sets up nicely for the coming or the existing fiscal now. Like I said at the beginning, I feel proud to report that D2H the last year has developed into a strong programming platform over the last year. We offered a whole host of subscription value-added services such as D2H Cinema, D2H Nursery Rhymes, D2H Hollywood. We are the only DTH operator to operate a 24-hour 4K service. Looking at the power of this platform, alternate revenue streams such as carriage, advertising, and value-added services are beginning to contribute meaningfully to revenue and EBITDA, especially EBITDA. Naturally, as the platforms become stronger, I'm getting more and more excited about these revenue streams, and this will continue to support margin expansion in the future. As far as content and VAS strategy is concerned, we continue to identify gaps in current offering and launch these proprietary value-added services. We have added five proprietary services, namely the HD, D2H Cinema, D2H Hollywood, D2H Darshan, D2H Nursery Rhymes, and D2H Spike. We also reported a number of technological advancements which would greatly benefit our subscribers this year, such as the test launch of a new hardware, the HD Smart Connect set-top box or the connected box, which converts and gives powers to individuals in India to convert their existing TV into a smart TV. The connected box will allow the subscribers to view normal DTH service and also connect to the internet to browse content from Twitter, Facebook, Dailymotion, video on demand sites, OTT apps. With the improving broadband scenario in India in the near future, later part of this year and next year, and the potential convergence of technologies and the times to come, connected set-top box and its variants will play an important part of our future. We also launched a new mobile app, and we will be launching that soon, which will convert your smartphone into a smart remote with a whole host of new features, really making the convergence clear with new technologies. Now, with regards to guidance for fiscal 2017, we have set for ourselves the following simple yet powerful goals for the fiscal year 2017, along with focus on key operational metrics on a quarterly basis. I am happy to announce to all shareholders that D2H will turn PAT positive in this year. D2H will be the fastest DTH operator to achieve this significant positive milestone. Fiscal 2017 will be a landmark year as we also achieve positive free cash flow breakeven during the year. This is assuming subscriber growth in line with the current growth trend. We will achieve gross subscriber additions of at least 2.5 million during the year. There would be sensibly around phase 3 digitization and phase 4 digitization implementation on this for the upside. With a key focus on growth and profitability, we will now be providing quarterly guidance for net subscriber additions and EBITDA on an ongoing basis. Coming to guidance for Q1 FY17, that is a quarter ending 30th June 2016, we expect net subscriber additions of 400,000 in Q1 FY17. We expect EBITDA to come in at around 2.4 billion in Q1, which is around 26% growth over Q1 FY16. With this, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Khera, CEO, for the DTH business update.
Thank you, Mr. Saurabh. Let me start giving you an update on Phase 3 digitization, which covers around 50 million television homes in our 6,100 cities. As per our analysis, the top 1,400 cities that come under Phase 3 constitute close to 70% of television homes in Phase 3 market opportunity. These 1,400 cities are of extreme importance to us, and our marketing efforts are largely focused on these areas. I am also very happy to share that the authorities have already begun discussion and preparation for the Phase 4, which has got another 70 million television homes. As per the recent data provided by the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting, a press release, we are happy to share that close to 70% of the new digital customers have opted for DTH over digital cable, which has only achieved 30% of market share. Phase 3 digitization has made good progress, barring a few states as Tamil Nadu. During the quarter, we raised monthly subscription packages price by at least rupees 20 across various subscription packages, translating to an average price increase of 7 to 8%. This is a significant positive development compared to an average 4 to 5% increase in the previous price hikes. Given the price increase came in early March, we will realize the benefit for the entire fiscal 2017. If you see the history of price increase in the past, as we saw price increase in February 2015 and September 2015, and now in March 2016. We believe revenue will continue to grow robustly, led by package price increases and improvement of high definition mix and value added service. I am pleased to say that in line with our focus on high ARPU customers, during the fiscal 2016, we installed high-definition enabled set-top boxes for over 50% of our new subscriber addition. We believe strong demand for high-definition packages and high-definition enabled set-top boxes will continue in fiscal 2017. This is helped by pickup in sales of large screen size LED TV and launch of high-definition versions of various regional channels. In the recent past, many leading broadcasters have launched high-definition versions of their regional channels, which will further enhance high-definition market size. With this, I hand over the call to Mr. Rohit Jain for financial updates.
We are pleased to share the details of our results for quarter ending March 2016. The total revenue grew 23.4% year-on-year to 7.72 billion rupees. Key components of that were subscription and activation growing by 21% to 7.06 billion. Carriage growing by more than 82% to 269 million. Ad revenue came in at 105 million as against 63 million last year. ARPU in Q4 went up to 214 as against 202. Q4 adjusted EBITDA grew 25% to 2.19 billion rupees. This is after making adjustment for ESOP expenses. Margin expanded 40 basis points year-on-year to 28.4%. The net loss for the quarter came in at 212 million. This is a 72% improvement over the same quarter last year. Monthly churn for the quarter came in at 0.58%. This is as against 0.85% last year. For the full year, we are happy to see that the churn came in at 0.73% per month. Hardware subsidies for acquisition came in at 1,776 rupees per subscriber. And capex was at 1.74 billion rupees, primarily around set-top boxes. In line with our top-line growth estimates and business plan, we generated positive operating cash flow, which is EBITDA less capex to the tune of 455 million for the quarter. For the full year, this figure stood at 744 million. As of March 31st, we had total term loans of 23.15 billion and cash and short-term investments of 7.21 billion. With this, from the date of our IPO till now, we've paid down debt of approximately 9 billion rupees. In end, to summarize, you know, we've ended the year with adjusted EBITDA growth of 31.5%. We've achieved net addition of 1.68 million during the year. We believe this is the highest in the industry for 6 years in a row. The exit quarter, we added 800,000 gross, 600,000 net subscriber, which gives us a strong platform for fiscal 17. We will be turning PAT positive and cash flow positive in fiscal 17, a very important milestone. And we're providing guidance of 400,000 net subscriber and EBITDA of 2.4 billion for Q1 fiscal 17. With this, we finish our opening remarks. And we'd like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Nitin Mohta from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a terrific quarter. Two questions from my side. Firstly, looking at your first quarter guidance, just wanted to understand, you know, is there a loss in momentum, you know, going from 600,000 to about 400,000? And, you know, what are the various puts and takes in that guidance? And secondly, on the content cost side, if you can just remind us, you know, where exactly are the deals at this point of time, given the entire uncertainty on the regulatory front?
So on Q1, you know, there is no loss of momentum. Remember, Q4 was a strong quarter with World Cup and cricketing events. Q1 and Q2 in India, as you're aware, are seasonally slow quarters. As you would have seen in the results of the pay TV industry over the years. Having said that, we think 400,000 would be a good strong number for Q1 with the sort of platform we're starting the year with. In terms of content costs, so, you know, we had our deals locked up for multi-years and staggered over a period of time. As we get into fiscal 17, you know, we would have, from now till over the next 3-4 years, we'll have some of the other deal coming up for renewal each year, but they're going to be staggered over a period of time.
And this is, any comment on the regulatory side, because one of your peers talked about not much actually moving on the content front till the time there is clarity from TRAI on how, you know, how exactly should you be proceeding. So any comments or thoughts over there would be very helpful.
Yeah, in fact, as you must have read, that regulator has issued at least 5 to 6 consultation paper that includes the quality of services of all the digital platform, and also on the tariff order, and also on the interconnect agreements. What we find is that regulator is currently assessing the actual content agreement between the broadcasters and all the distribution platforms with a view to revise the tariff orders and develop a realistic a la carte pricing mechanism. You know, this is in order to create a level playing field across various distribution platforms. In the recent consultation paper on interconnect agreement, you know, there are various pricing mechanisms which has been suggested by the tribe, and the focus is on, you know, being non-discriminatory and bring transparency in all the platforms agreement. In short, the broadcaster's ask price for the content is likely to get standardized across all the digital platforms, such as, you know, DTH or digital cable or IPTV. We strongly believe this is a significant, you know, positive development for DTH industry.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Anand from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a great set of numbers and the granularity of guidance and commentary. I have two questions. One is in terms of the step up in sales and marketing spends. Is it largely driven by discretionary advertising in the current cricket heavy quarter, or is it so that as your distribution infrastructure increases, these expenses largely become overheads? That's one. And secondly, you mentioned about 70% of the phase 3 subscribers going to DTH. How much more is left in phase 3? What about phase 4? Do you see that Free Dish is a credible alternate, and you know, can DTH continue to drive growth there? Thanks.
You see, the 70% digital customer acquired in phase 3 is as per the paper issued by the MIB, press release issued by the MIB. We believe, you know, that total household in these areas are 50 million. And as per the press release by the government, 40 million set-top box have been seeded. So still there is an opportunity of 10 million analog homes where the set-top box are yet to be seeded. And as regards, you know, advertisement spend and during the quarter, it is in line with our annual plan. And there is no spurt as such in the advertisement spurt in this quarter. If you look at the total spend, it is in line with the last year's spend.
All right. And, sir, just a small follow-up on the deployment data that the MIB has released.
Yes.
So does this also include inactive set-top boxes, or is it active set-top boxes deployed in phase 3 areas?
So these are all net set-top boxes, and the 40 million is the figure which has come out.
All right. Thanks. I'll come back with more. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Shah from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I don't know if I heard this right, that 50% of your new subscriber addition this quarter was HD. And if that is the case, I just wanted to understand, you know, the ARPUs could have seen an even sharper jump, or if you can help us understand the incremental mix overall and, you know, why only 3 rupees increase then if it was largely HD driven.
I think what we shared was that in line with our focus on HD in the long term, we are feeding more and more high definition boxes at the customers' house, irrespective of whatever services they're offering, opting for. And that gives us a larger opportunity over a period of time to be able to upgrade the customers to high definition. So while I think the industry continues to focus a lot on upgrading the customers, we are also sort of taking a longer term view and seeing more and more high definition equipment at home.
Okay, in that case, if you can help us, what's your mix, you know, with HD and the 99 plan and the other plans? And also, what's the current percentage of your base on HD?
So HD for us, you know, till about maybe 2 years back was roughly about 5% of our base. And that number has grown fairly impressive over the last 2 years. We are now a little over 12%. The rest of the subscriber is split across multiple packages.
Okay. And if you could remind me about how you treat the license fee in your numbers? What is the number you go with in the license fee calculations?
We take in our license fees number as per AGR calculation, and the balance is provided as contingency.
Which means you are taking 8% effectively?
Which is in line with the formula provided by the regulator.
Mm-hmm. And with the you know, new regulations coming in, you know, you talked about it just on the last question, but you are already at the higher end versus, you know, some other players and other DTH players. Do you think it's going to have a positive impact on your cost, or it may still increase your cost?
Well, you know, we believe whichever way you look at it, it's too early to be able to comment where the regulation might go, but it can only be a positive traction for us. And this is not just with respect to satellite. The regulator is taking a view with respect to the entire pay TV industry, which includes the cable as well. Whether that means satellite cost goes down or cable cost goes up, or, you know, what happens, these are things which are difficult to predict at this point of time. But I think anything that brings about parity can only help us both in terms of growth and profitability.
And what are your current HD ARPUs? And, you know, I understand you do HD boxes seating, but what will be your mix of HD subscribers, actual subscribers in your subscriber addition, roughly as an average over the last 4 or 5 quarters?
So the overall number is what we shared just a while back, at about little over 12%. Our pace of growth, you know, depending upon quarter to quarter, varies from a high double digit to going up to almost 25 to 30% in seasonal quarter.
And your HD ARPUs?
Well, we haven't broken down the ARPUs by standard definition and high definition, but needless to say, they contribute handsomely to the ARPU.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mantri from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand your mix of the low-end pack subscribers that are getting added, provided the growth is largely in base. Can you help us with that?
So while we are not breaking down the standard definition in terms of various tiers, there are multiple tiers that we offer in different parts of India. At this point, you know, there isn't any significant traction in the lower tiers. These are experiments that we've done over the last year in order to target various, you know, strata of customers, whether those are in the free dish markets or low cable markets. And these are experiments we continue to look at over the next couple of years to come. The traction obviously is coming more and more on the high definition side over the last couple of years. Having said that, you know, at the end of the day, we are seeing overall traction in ARPU to be quite positive, and we expect that momentum to continue.
In case of your HD boxes, which have been added for the quarter, which you're saying is 50% incremental, how many have actually opted for those services?
So like I said, over the last couple of years, that number has moved from 5% of the base to almost a little over 12% of the base now.
Okay, so 12% would also be a right services. If on an incremental basis, what could that number be?
Incremental, like I said, the number varies from a high double digit to going up to 25 to 30% in seasonally strong quarters.
Okay, so thank you and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishendra Goswami from Locus Investment. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify, how much license fee are you charging to the PNL currently?
As we shared, we are charging license fees in line with the AGR calculation in the PNL, which is provided done as per the formula provided by the tribunal years back, and the difference between that and the gross revenues and the GR formula is provided in the contingency. While the operational details does not have the breakdown in terms of numbers, but we are basically following the AGR norm, which should be pretty easy to calculate.
Right. So, I mean, on the reported revenue basis, this would work out to be what, about 5 to 6%?
Somewhere in that range. Difficult for me to quantify given the breakdown is not available, but, I mean, it shouldn't be difficult math to work it out.
I see. And would you have a sense of what the activation revenues were for FY16?
That forms part of subscription revenue for us. And the overall subscription and activation revenue put together came in at about 26.07 billion.
Right. And just in terms of on a per sub basis, what is the activation that you're booking now?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
On a per sub basis, the gross sub that you're adding for every new sub, what kind of activation would you be booking?
Again, that's part of the subscription revenue. And at a per sub basis, what we had in the Q4, for example, was 214 rupees a hour.
Right, which includes the activation.
Right? That's right.
We're not breaking it out. I see. And the hardware subsidy that you have, that seems to be slightly on the higher side. So, any comment on that?
It's higher side in context of what?
In context of at least what the peers are reporting.
So, difficult to comment because we don't have access to what product mix peers have and what product strategies, but. For us, this is largely in line with how we've been doing over the last couple of years. In Q4, there is a marginal increase in the subscriber acquisition cost, largely on account of higher high-definition box mix.
Right. So, okay, it's the higher HD, which is... And what is the box cost currently for a SD and a HD box now?
So we haven't provided the cost of the box itself, but the difference between the two is not very high.
I see. But and any marketing campaign or anything on the advertising side that kind of spiked the overall sales and distribution cost in Q4?
We have recently rolled out our marketing campaign, which is titled as Khushiyon Ki Chhatri.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have rolled out all over the media, and we are finding it a very good positioning and getting a good traction.
Right. So this will continue.
This will continue, and the various value-added services and various active services which we have been providing will become part of this campaign.
I see.
Yeah, okay.
That's all. That's all. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I missed the breakup of the non subscription and activation revenue. I think you gave that the advertising, rental, and other bits.
Carriage was 269 million for the quarter, and our revenue was 105 million.
What would be the rental income as well?
That forms part of the other revenue.
All right. Very quickly, on this content cost bit. So, once the new DD Sat and dry regulation sort of come into place. The uncertainty or the piece that we don't really understand is the fact that the existing contracts that you have, which will probably run for another, one, two, 3 years, whether those will also, have to shift, compulsorily shift to the new regime immediately, or will they be sort of allowed to run through, for the remaining, time period and then get, renegotiated, as per the new, regulations. Would you have some clarity on this?
Yeah, in fact, there is, one is, there is no clarity that when the regulation will come. There are discussions happening and, open house are happening one after the other. We strongly believe that TRAI is going to come out with a comprehensive policy, not only for the, tariff order, with price between broadcasters and the platform. They're also going to come out on, like, quality of services, like an interconnect agreement, the disparity between the contract between analog and digital and cable and DTH. All this together, we strongly believe, will take another 5 months to 6 months or to 8 months, 1 year to roll out. And there is still no clarity on, what's going to happen on the existing contract which are already in force. Thank you.
Okay. My final point is, the subscriber acquisition cost, could you just help us with a little bit of detailing on this? So, let's say, the cost of cost to consumer, when you sort of initially sell the, set-top box is around 1500, 1600. So from that, all the way down to the, subscriber acquisition cost of 1776 or around 1750 that, you have reported as an average over the last two, quarters. How does that, calculation sort of flow through? Would it be possible to sort of, get some detailing on that?
So while there are no figures available, but it includes all the components that go into acquiring a subscriber. Whether that's the hardware cost of the consumer premise equipment, which includes the set-top box, the dish antenna, smart card, wiring, everything that goes into the cost of actually going and doing the installation, the distribution margins, the taxes paid to the government, the money paid by the customer. So entire cash flow cycle that goes into place while acquiring a subscriber goes into this. And that's how we've come to the figure that we've shared.
Would it be possible to please put some numbers on, each of these components?
At this point, that's, while breakdown are not available in the public domain, but those are reasonably standard figures, here and give or take, those are reasonably standard figures for the industry, so you could make your guesses on that.
Alright. Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Khandelwal from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Your content cost as percentage of revenues has fallen from 38.5% last quarter to 37.5% this quarter. So despite being a sports-heavy quarter, can you shed some light why has this fallen? Is there any new deal renegotiation that has taken place or something else?
Well, on the contrary, it's actually gone down because all our deals were done already in fiscal 15. There weren't any deals in fiscal 16.
Mm-hmm.
We've obviously delivered what we believe are great numbers for fiscal 16, whether you look at it in absolute terms or relative to the industry. And it's really the leverage of that scale and size that's been achieved. Those numbers have been achieved, the operating leverage has been achieved. Having said that, it's important to also note that during the year, there were two tax increases done by the government. One was done in the month of June when service tax went up by 1.64%. The other was done in the month of December when Swachh Bharat tax was introduced by 0.5%. And the entire industry obviously saw shaving off of revenues by more than 2% on account of these taxes. If it was not for these increases in taxes, we would have probably seen the content cost going down even further in line with our initial estimates at the beginning of the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Dokania from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, I'm sorry I've joined in a bit
late. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Dokania. Can you speak a bit louder? We're not able to hear you.
Yeah. Hi. Is this better?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So, sorry, I joined in a bit late. So, have you provided any guidance on EBITDA and ARPU for FY17?
Yeah, we have provided guidance for Q1. We provided a guidance of net addition of 400,000 and EBITDA of 2.4 billion. We've also provided a full year guidance to be achieving PAT positive and free cash flow positive milestones in fiscal 17. Also, we expect to do minimum of 2.5 million addition during the year.
Sure, this is gross addition, right?
That's right.
Okay, sure. Thanks for this. And just one more question. You know, so if I look at your full fiscal 16 numbers, subscription and activation revenue has grown at 26%, whereas overall revenue has grown at 22%. So could you please talk about the other operating revenue which could have fallen on a YOY basis?
Well, the other operating revenues includes many elements around hardware and all of that. Plus, you know, our service revenues are all outsourced. Those are not part of the P&L. The entire service activity has been outsourced in fiscal 15. And hence, those don't come into the other revenue. So, you know, these are really on account of various accounting practices and the way business is structured. And that's why you should probably look at subscription as a true surrogate for business growth.
No, sure, Roy, I understand that. Just want to, so, you know, if I'm not wrong, advertising and carriage would have grown, which is also a part of this other operating revenue. I just want to understand that particular line item which might have declined by a while.
Like I said, it's not that any line item has declined. Mm-hmm. A large component of other revenue which would have come in would have been the installation revenue.
Okay.
A part of the customer revenue goes towards installation.
Sure.
Which otherwise would have come into the other revenue. That does not come into the P&L given that exercise was outsourced in fiscal 15.
Sure, that explains. Great. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Well, if my memory serves me right, we were expected to deliver a balance sheet by a notch. However, nothing really seems to have moved on that front. So do you have a repayment schedule maybe for the next couple of years or for FY17?
So we do have, you know, from our date of IPO, we have paid down 9 billion rupees on the debt so far.
Mm-hmm.
Also, over the last, you know, few quarters gone by, we've also paid down another, you know, 2.76 billion out of that 9 billion during this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. So, do you have anything in mind are you targeting a certain level of debt by FY17 or something?
So, we believe that currently we are at fairly optimum levels of net debt. At this point, given that there's a massive opportunity of phase 3, phase 4 coming up. Our more immediate focus areas and plans are around profitability and cash flow positive. At a debt level, we certainly don't expect the net debt levels to change much in terms of going any further up. We certainly think these are at fairly optimum levels of net debt now. But yeah, our focus in the next year is certainly towards customer acquisition and cash flow positive and profitability.
Sure, thanks. That helps. Also, one more thing on the HD growth. So, of these 50% of gross ads, how many are actually converts and how many are new subscribers?
The 50% was the boxes seeded for new customers acquired during the quarter.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm not sure if you've given this, but do you have a CapEx guidance for FY17?
No, there is no CapEx guidance. The subscriber acquisition costs are fairly stable over the last 2 years. We've given a guidance on subscriber acquisition numbers.
Sure.
The CapEx should be a direct outcome of that.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivekanand S. from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks again for the opportunity. Couple of questions. One is, could you discuss a bit on the industry level gross subscriber addition for FY16 and how you expect it to pan out over FY17? And secondly, what about the impact of DD Freedish on the phase 4 subscriber opportunity? I want you to also discuss a bit about the DD competition in the context of the increased channel carrying capacity that they are going to roll out. The second question is on the ARPU drivers. So your peer commented that they look at the market in two ways. The dash 42 cities where the focus is on upgrading the consumer to HD and offering higher packs, and the phase 3 and 4 consumers where they are recruiting them at the lower end packs, the 99 and regional products. So any thoughts on the ARPU drivers for you would be appreciated. Thanks.
Okay. First, I'll answer your question on the industry size of DTH. There are major four operators, national operators, DTH player in the country, and one in the south. Actually, there are six operators, but major four and one in the south. All together, we have done 11 million gross seeding of boxes last year. And we expect the same trend to continue for this year also. Because of major part of phase 3 digitization process is still there, and the phase 4 digitization discussions and preparations have already started by the authorities. So we see this as a huge opportunity. Your another questions on competition from government free dish as they are launching a lot of channels. For phase 3 and phase 4 market, as all the DTH players, including us, we have introduced a introductory pack to target all the free dish customers as well as the low ARPU cable customer. In fact, their entry pack is 99 plus, few add-ons. But if you look at the ARPU from this customer, that's not bad actually. It's coming to 170, 180 rupees, because along with the free dish, all the channels which are available in 99 pack, he also takes add-ons of the entertainment and the movie channels. And we have seen a lot of customer converting from free dish to the paid DTH services, as they want to see fresh content, and not the rerun content of the same channel after 6 months. So while, this free dish is creating market, and at the same time, we all are trying to upgrade this customer from free to pay TV. Thank you.
Overall, we, in terms of the management strategy or execution strategy, overall, the company is clearly demonstrated industry-leading net subscriber growth as well as industry-leading ARPU growth as well. So it speaks about the kind of customer profile our brand attracts and our team executes. And whether it is the first phase 1, phase 2 cities or phase 3, phase 4 subscribers, the difference in average ARPU from them is not stark.
Okay, just a small follow-up, sir. You mentioned that a similar gross addition trend will continue in FY17. Why not a higher subscriber addition trajectory in FY17 in the context of the phase 3 pending opportunity and also phase 4, as you have outlined, the preparedness of the authorities is also reflecting right now itself. So why not a higher gross addition for the industry?
Well, so naturally, as we have mentioned, that this is this guidance is of course doesn't include upsides, which yields out of the pace and force of implementation of phase 3 and phase 4. So naturally, that upside is there, and as we have demonstrated, as we have demonstrated in the past, we have continued to lead the market in terms of its size. So the market expands, of course, our ability to increase our subscriber addition would expand. Naturally, the internal business plan targets are much higher than this number.
Right. Thanks for this. And on ARPU, you mentioned that the difference in average ARPU between Dash 42 cities and the phase 3 and 4 markets isn't much. What about the HD adoption rates and consumer behavior there? So you mentioned that you provide HD boxes to consumers irrespective of whether they opt for packages or not. But if, let's say, a consumer opts for HD packages, is it so that there is frequent dropout to standard definition once porting quarters are completed?
Sorry, could you repeat that last part again?
The last part was with respect to the consumer behavior on HD front,
yes.
Where do consumers shift up and down between standard definition and HD, or is it so that there is high level of stickiness in HD?
So yeah, no, we are very encouraged with the uptick of HD packages in phase 3, phase 4 markets as well. I wouldn't say that HD subscribers is only the domain of phase 1, phase 2 market subscribers. Definitely not. And yes, in terms of stickiness, well, there is a large section of HD subscribers which are very sticky with their HD packs. There is also a certain set of subscribers which we actually encourage to sample skinny HD packs also, and not just full-on HD bank.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Yogesh Sarve from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, yeah, I wanted to understand the CapEx part of the business. Now, one element of CapEx is pretty much straightforward, linked to the gross subscriber acquisitions. But I understand that there's a lot of repairs and replacement of the set-top box of our existing subscriber. So how does that work out? Do we charge to the customers on replacement? And going forward, should that be an material element of overall CapEx?
Sorry, could you repeat that? You were talking about CapEx of replacing customer?
Yeah. So existing set-top box may be replaced because if or any repair. So do we charge to the customer for the replacement or how does that work out?
Well, there are nominal visit charges and etc. But given our manufacturing capabilities and reverse supply chain abilities, these are very nominal in nature. The larger part of the CapEx, as you would see the trend of the last several years, a very, very substantial part of our CapEx is just acquiring new subscribers. Everything else put together is a very, very small part of the CapEx plan.
Mm-hmm.
So now with regards, naturally customers also pay for warranty repair, out of warranty repair charges and visit mm-hmm. charges or relocation charges. So the customer pays for them. It is not a negative cash flow item for the company.
In cases where the complete replacement is required of the set top box, so that remains chargeable to the customer?
No, so again, the customers do pay for visitation and repair charges. Mm-hmm. There are say new customers which are in warranty, but that is very low number. And as Mr. Jain explained, that the reverse logistics process because of domestic manufacturing and procurement is so efficient that mm-hmm. it does not lead to any revenue leakage from that front. The other aspect is, of course, customers like to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, they pay a higher upfront fees. They pay higher charges to get their box upgraded to an HD or maybe in future these smart connect set-top boxes and other new technological items. So that is also covered commercially.
Right. Thanks for this. And second question regarding the in terms of ARPU drivers. So, could you talk about bit about the platform services? So, how many subscribers are actually subscribing to any of your platform services, and how is that number growing?
Well, this is competitive information, so we will not granularly break everything down. But I'm very excited to see that today there would be almost a low double-digit portion of our entire subscriber base, which are either taking VAS services or have paid for VAS services or have sampled them in between. And I think that's a very encouraging trend, considering this has been a business which started. I mean, this has been a revenue segment which started really only 2 years back.
Right, sir. Thanks for this. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishinder Goswami from Locus Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. This is Akhil Thavan. Just two questions. First one was on, you know, you made a comment early on in the call about some new data from the IMB Ministry that suggested that the DTH industry was running at a 70% incremental market share. Could you just clarify where that data is from?
This is one of the press release which has appeared in all the news. The total feeding of boxes are 40 million, and out of which around 13 to 14 million boxes have been seeded by cable, and remaining have been seeded by DTH from launch till date.
I see. And then just based on your, on slide 7 of your presentation, in terms of just the households in phase 4 and, you know, roughly 45 million households being analog in phase 4 today, just to get a sense, I mean, your chart shows that there's about a million digital cable households only in phase 4 so far. In terms of reach and what's contiguous, what is your sense of those 45 million households that, you know, remain to be converted? How much can cable actually even touch?
Yeah, if you look at the total household in India, we have 215 million households. If I break down in phase 4, phase 3, phase 2, phase 1, if you talk about only phase 4 households, there are 70 to 80 million television households. And it is very safe to assume that all the DTH companies in phase 4 have already seeded, close to 20 million to 25 million, any figure around that, have already seeded. So the balance left out, if we deduct the DT direct out, so the balance left out boxes to be seeded should be anywhere figure around, 35 to 40 million opportunity is there for digital cable as well as for all the DTH company.
Yeah, and just that's what my question was. So given the spread of those houses, the geographical spread of those households,
yeah,
how much of them can actually physically be reached by, viably by digital cable?
Well, wherever the digital cable business is viable, wherever the cluster of houses are anywhere around 10,000, so there's the cable business becomes viable. So that becomes a proposition for digital cable. But DTH reach can be anywhere. I mean, our footprints are available across all entire country, and even in the hilly regions where the cable cannot reach. And we have a strong opportunity there in phase 4.
Right. I see.
I think the current penetration levels of digital cable and phase 3 phase 4 already speak for them in their ability to participate in the incremental growth as well. I think
Sure, although given that, phase 3 is more immediate in nature, they're clearly focused on seeding phase 3 and not 4 yet, at least for cable.
Also, we are forgetting the fact that we have places like Gurgaon in phase 3.
Right.
That really is not typically how you would visualize phase 4 or phase 3 city.
Yeah.
So it's not, everything is not so clear.
Yeah. Okay. And then just my last question is on your, you know, on the subscriber acquisition cost of 1,776 rupees this quarter. That excludes, you know, any marketing cost. So that's just the hardware subsidy portion. And if I look at your, you know, sales and distribution expense for the full year on the number of ads, I mean, there's almost another, you know, something like 750 to 850 rupees per subscriber being spent on sales and distribution in addition to this hardware subsidy. So in terms of just thinking about total subscriber acquisition cost, is it fair to say that that number would actually be something like 2,500 rupees?
That's actually not the correct way to look at it. So a couple of things on this. Sales and distribution expenses include multiple items. The total figure cannot be taken as it is. The second is the sales and distribution expense in itself is not variable to subscriber growth to a large extent. And hence, to correlate whether the sales and distribution expense has been incurred for the purpose of acquiring subscriber might not be the right surrogate assumption to make.
I see.
The whole purpose of looking at subscriber acquisition costs for us internally in the way we think is how much cash we had to spend to acquire a subscriber, right?
Right.
Really a cash flow expression for us.
Yeah.
Our belief over the years is that many of the other expenses, including sales and distribution, are really becoming, as the business is achieving a certain scale and size, are becoming more and more sort of fixed expenses in nature.
Right.
And those do not have much variability with regards to subscriber acquisition. And the same is visible if you look at the trend of those budgets over the past many years.
I
think any company or platform of this size would end up doing certain amount of marketing and, you know, such other expenses irrespective of subscriber acquisition level. Which is the reason we haven't included in that. And even if you were to sort of allocate that figure would have been less than 100 rupees, but our belief is it won't be the right accounting expression to include that.
I see. So then maybe just to ask it differently, I mean, just on a cash-on-cash basis today for the incremental subscriber, what is your sense of cash-on-cash return or IRR, net of churn?
Difficult question to comment. Look, there are multiple ways to look at IRR, right? And you guys on the call know this better than we do. That's something we leave the analysts to be able to address. There are, you know, 100 different ways to look at IRR on customers. We are quite excited by the way profitability is being delivered by the business. The business is obviously now delivering upwards of 28% EBITDA. And there's every reason to believe that the profitability per subscriber is only going up if you also sort of take into account the fixed expenses that are essentially fixed in nature. So incremental margins, incremental profitability is quite high, but IRR is something we leave to the financial experts.
I see. Okay. And just last bookkeeping question.
Naturally, internally for us, the IRR is very good to continue expanding.
Sure, clearly. And then just last bookkeeping question, what is the fully diluted shares outstanding, including, you know, pending earnouts?
Well, including pending earnouts, the figure would be somewhere closer to 113 million ADR.
I see. Okay, that's the number I was looking for. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Nupur Agarwal for her closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of the management, I'd like to thank everybody on the call. A copy of this transcript will be available on our website in the next few days. Thank you again.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Videocon D2S Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.